last night there were two votes taken in the House of Commons. The first was to block action in Syria, and that was voted no. And then the second was to essentially agree on airstrikes in Syria, and that was voted yes. 397 to 223 was the final count, with 66 Labour MPs, that's 29% of the Labour MPs, voting in favour of the strikes. So it's pretty big news. I think there was an expectation that this was going to be the result of the vote, but in a sense for the country it's just a big story, because it's sort of moving towards where France are. Recently they declared war on Syria. So it's worrying times in that sense.
So I think obviously, because you know, we do tailor our news towards students, let's focus on students for the time being. What do you think a lot of students will make of this? We know that obviously there was a protest yesterday in Nottingham by the Brian Clough statue in Market Square, which was a don't bomb Syria protest, and obviously there'll have been a lot of students that went to that. Do you think that overall that there may well be a strong negative opinion of the government's decision?
Yeah, I think generally it tends to be the case that students are slightly more liberal than the average voter, so that's obviously to be considered. Yeah, there's been lots of standing up to Syria, and that's what a lot of these parties are calling themselves. It's worrying. A lot of students, right, I think just feel a bit disillusioned with it. Like, we didn't really get a choice in this. You know, the Conservatives were voted in, so some people say if you voted, then this is just democracy and it's form, you know.
Well, I mean, it wasn't just the Conservative Party.
No.
I mean, as you said, Joe, it's how many? 66?
66 Labour MPs.
Labour MPs.
I mean, what 30%.
Is? I mean, to put to you guys in the wider sense, where does that leave the Labour Party? Obviously, very split now, because there is a significant proportion of the Labour MPs that currently make up the House of Commons that will have disagreed with their party leader, Jeremy Corbyn, and gone against him and voted with the Tory government.
Yeah, I think it's difficult because obviously there is now a split with the Labour Party as well, which I think was there before due to Corbyn's election, but I think it's now becoming more and more pronounced when issues like this have come to the front, like Corbyn obviously very anti-violence, anti-war, and then it's at the end of the day half of his party isn't. So again, that's highlighting problems within the Labour Party. What I find interesting is that because of the fact that Corbyn himself has gone against it, it is very much Cameron and the Conservatives who are getting the grief. There's a lot of things on social media with something that Cameron on the 4th of October said something like, Russia's airstrikes on Syria are just going to bring out more extremes within terrorism and it's going to get worse. And a lot of people are now bringing that back on Cameron and saying, well, we are now essentially doing exactly what you said not to do like a mere 2 months ago. So I think it is interesting that the fact that because even though Labour has in essentially maybe like half, a lot of their MPs at least have voted for the airstrikes, because their leader hasn't, it's very much the Conservatives who are getting all of the blame really for the airstrikes.
Yeah, I think you're right. When you think about it from a political standpoint, I don't think anyone's come out of this looking good. Obviously, as you say, Corbyn with 30% of the Labour MPs going against him, that's a big deal. That's not something that happens often. And I think one very notable image from last night was Hilary Benn, who was sitting on the left of Jeremy Corbyn, stood up and made a rousing speech in favour of the Yes campaign. So that was quite controversial in that sense. But on the other hand, you're right, like the Conservatives haven't really come out of this well at all either. David Cameron described those who voted no as terrorist sympathisers and was repeatedly asked to apologise for saying this and did not. So it has not helped his public image, especially for the Labour supporters, definitely.
I think it's appalling to suggest that because you don't want to bomb another country that you're a terrorist sympathiser. It's just, I think the whole thing of the idea of airstrikes on Syria in general is just appalling, because it's generalising, isn't it? It's saying we're going to bomb Syria because everyone in Syria is a terrorist. Like, that is not the case at all. If you look at the refugee crisis, people are trying to get out of Syria, people are trying to get out of that part of the world because of things like IS. And it's just, personally, I think it's atrocious that David Cameron would say all of them are terrorists and you're a terrorist sympathiser if you don't bomb them.
I mean, I would argue something very different. This isn't necessarily my personal belief. I'm just playing devil's advocate here, because to be honest with you, I'm quite split on the whole thing. I don't really back either side. But what I would say is, the strikes are seemingly, it's a very different approach to the Iraq war. But seemingly, we're going to have much more directed, focused, targeted strikes. They've specifically ruled out troops on the ground because they don't want a repeat of, excessive collateral damage. It's got to be something that's far more focused and targeted and specific. And I think a lot of the focus with the whole airstrikes has been how can we make sure that they are as targeted and specifically aimed at the people that they want to kill, or to the specific targets and specific camps and buildings that they are looking to destroy.
Yeah, I think today the party line is that they're targeting missiles at oil fields. So the aim, or at least intention for that, would be to destroy a lot of the oil refineries which IS own. 10% of IS's income comes through oil, probably even higher. So obviously this is a massive thing if they can sort of stop the production of their oil and stop the funding. IS have actually had a lot of popularity gained through sort of the propaganda videos and such that we've been seeing coming out on the internet, things like that. I think it's just constantly trying to make it seem somewhat attractive, which is horrendous. So obviously if they have no funding, that stops that side of things. Going back to what you said, it's an unfortunate consequence that there are going to be parallels joined and drawn between the Iraq war and what's happening now in Syria. It was just over 10 years ago, all this was taking place, similar circumstances, admittedly different, and the retrospective press that's received is just making all of this look really bad. If the Iraq war hadn't happened, then maybe public opinion wouldn't be so negative in this context, but unfortunately it did. 30,000 people were killed in the first week of the Iraq war, and apparently over 7,000 civilians. So that gives you at least some context of some of the reason why people are reacting to this. Obviously 130 people died in Paris last week. Compared that to the numbers that have died during the Iraq war, and it does pale in comparison.
And also we haven't really brought up the fact that we have been helping out in coalition forces anyway. We've already done about 800 actual just strikes, regardless, with a few what's called hurricanes from the good old RAF. But so what are people that Why is this such a massive thing? Now we've literally just said we've declared war directly rather than sort of indirectly in this coalition. I'm not sure. Are people ignorant to this fact, or is it now a bigger deal that there has been a Commons pass, motion to actually say we are now at war at this country? So
yeah, I was that's exactly what I was thinking. We haven't not been involved in this whole thing at all. It's not like we're suddenly getting involved for the first time. We've provided aid and support to a lot of the bombing that's going on already. So it's all kind of up in the air as to how much things will change from now on, or whether it's now a fact that perhaps if you are unaware of our aid beforehand, you now know that the kind of support we're giving, or the fact that it is, it's now just more declarative and we're saying, this is where we're now, our involvement's gone from kind of sideline support to active carrying out the task ourselves. So whether actually that's, like you were pointing out, whether that's a big change or not is still debatable.
But should we be doing this? Should we not be actually putting money into looking after our own people rather than actually having these airstrikes, declaring war? Is there not a lot of suffering that already goes on in this country?
But then you're not fulfilling your maybe an international or a moral duty to be able to help the people of there. That is an argument that I really don't. Yesterday there was in a protest, someone came out and said, no money to airstrikes, put money into the welfare state. You've just got that argument is just so wrong on the basis
of... Why isn't it wrong?
Warped, because that's not how it works. That's not how it works.
So the government shouldn't put its people first. Right, it should be...
surely we have, as the international community, a moral responsibility to help the people of Syria, to help the people of Syria, to help the people of the Middle East who are suffering under the rule of IS.
But is bombing them the best way of helping them?
But if you are,
like,
if
it is.
Well, you say that, but when there was a lot of problems with the IS battle against the Kurds earlier in the year, the Kurds, someone like the Kurd ambassador in this country came out and said that their airstrikes had nullified the threat of IS in certain areas and had pushed them back, thus allowing the Kurds to reclaim areas and restore normal rule. That is what
then,
this is about.
But at this point, there are people fighting the Kurds as well. I mean, not just ISIS are trying to attack the Kurds. There's other forces, I can't exactly remember which country it is, who are actually, you know, also going against these people. So we've got to work out who we're actually helping. Because this is a seven-way conflict, and just firing bombs into the mix is a bit of a mess.
I think that's what they're doing now. I don't agree with the airstrikes at all, but I would have enough faith in the government and in NATO and all of this to think they're not just randomly firing bombs into the Middle East, Joe.
Of course they're not.
They've got specific targets. They're going to try and avoid civilians. It's not something, as we can see, it is not something they've gone into lightly. It's not something that has just been sort of off the top of the head. Oh yeah, we're just going to do it.
Yeah, I know. I think that's just a moral decision that has to be made, right? I don't think the money should come into it, right? Because if you decide that this is the action that should take place, then that must be agreeing that it's so paramount that it has to happen. I think where you have to think about it from, though, especially the vote last night, was a paradigm shift, right? It's not just the UK helping out its allies. This is Britain going and attacking an army, essentially.
Exactly.
So this is massive in the frame of, like, the history of this situation. Britain is now, like, one of the main parties involved. But at the end of the day, I'm not... Given what's happened over the recent years in places like Iraq, we've seen so many civilian deaths, and I just don't see them recovering. Don't see them recovering this situation.
That's
purely based on airstrikes. I just can't see that as the natural conclusion of this.
You can't say the conflict's been going on for this year or 2 years. It's been going on for 5 years, if you look at it like legitimately. And what happens once we get rid of ISIS? Who takes over the region? Do we have Assad going back in? And do we go over Russia and Assad? Or do we support the rebels? Do we support the Kurds?
Yeah,
who do we support?
Well, Joe, it's one step at a time. But the one thing that I think, you know, most people can agree on is that we cannot simply stand in a position and say no money towards the conflict in Syria. Let's put it to our people. We'll leave them alone. Listen, let the trouble all boil over. We'll go and sit in a pub. Absolutely not. Like, the whole point of being an international community, the United Nations, of being especially a first world power with the amount of money that we have, is that we have a moral responsibility to help out everyone around the world who needs it. And that's why for people to come out and say more money into the welfare state is an absolutely ludicrous, warped, and really quite, like, just a terrible, terrible argument. Because that is not the whole point of internationalism. And
listen,
it's just taking money
So do you think every other country that hasn't supported, you know, intervention into Syria, they are morally wrong then?
No, of course not.
But our countries,
at the same time,
though,
I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to judge someone else.
Malta. What are Malta doing about this?
Okay, I'm not going to. Fine, do you know what? I'm not going to judge Malta, but I'm going to say, as me, a Brit, who knows that we are very fortunate to live in the country that we live with, the economy that we have, that I believe we have more responsibility, even if it's not for airstrikes, we have more responsibility to put money towards helping that conflict.
I don't think anyone's saying that money shouldn't go towards it. I think where I personally, and I think a lot of other people, have a problem with it is based on just the blanket idea that we can just go into another country and, as our country, as one of the world police nations, can just start putting airstrikes into Syria.
It is
into Syrian land. Syria is not a country which we are in conflict with directly. We're in a conflict with IS. So, and on top of that, I think you've got to think about it from what spawned IS and all the previous predecessors of it. It's the Western countries going in
and this is another thing. We're just meddling. Perpetuating this image of having this again. Just it's just straightforward, like good old fashioned like imperialism. It's what, just because we have the history.
What
of
do
it.
We think the result of us dropping? What we dropped 6 airstrikes in Syria today. They were already ready to go clearly by yesterday.
The thing is, I completely agree with you.
What's the result of that going to be?
I completely agree with you, but what I would say is, surely the government and the army have looked at the Iraq war and they've said, right, that went really, really badly. And we need to do something now that is going to be significantly different, is going to significantly reduce collateral damage based on the last one. And surely that's why these airstrikes are very different to the Iraq war, where it was sending in troops, because they figured out a way of being able to have a more targeted, specific war.
The thing about the Iraq war is that we were trying to get rid of Saddam, sorry, we're getting rid of Saddam. But what is the aim here of these airstrikes? So we just take out ISIS.
So what's can I ask you? Can I ask you right now, what is the alternative? It's all very well saying no airstrikes. It's all very well saying, there should be. It's not about military. It's about trying to sit around the negotiations. Blah 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 blah.
We support the forces actually local to the conflict, rather than going.
How do you support the forces?
There.
How are you going to support the forces?
Listen, we can't go too much into depth of like what the alternative is, because we're not out there. We're not in the government. We don't know the finer details.
Of course,
I think it's just coming down to it. The British politicians at this point in time have made a conscious decision that lives in Britain are worth more than lives in Syria, and
that's your perspective of it. The reason why they've made that decision now is because they've said, right, enough is enough, and enough means that we're no longer going to sort of just stand back, sort of give money to the rebels and hope that the moderates will sort its way out. No, because there are people in that country who are suffering. There are Yazidi women who are being sold as sex slaves, and those who aren't being sold as sex slaves are being put into pits and shot at. But this is something that they've said, right, this is not happening anymore. Enough is enough. We'll end it, and we're going to do what we can to stop the suffering in Syria. Some people might be able to see it is that we're putting Britain first. But in reality, who is it that we're affecting most? By launching airstrikes on IS, in reality, the people that are going to be affected most are Syrians. And whether that's for better or worse, it is for them. Now, we're hoping that with these strikes and with targeted strikes, and hopefully that they are specific, that they're not going to, be really problematic and cause a lot of harm towards normal, ordinary Syrian civilians. We're hoping that. This campaign, this strategy, is designed with the idea to reduce the instant threat that IS poses towards Syrian civilians.
And listen, if that was the result, if the airstrikes, if we had all the information and we knew with 100% certainty that the airstrikes fell this morning and they're going to continue to, they're going to destroy oil refineries and potentially wipe out IS, then I think everyone would be generally quite... Well, the opposition to that would die down significantly. However, I think when it comes to it, there have been minimal British deaths as a result of IS, and as a result of these strikes, there's almost guaranteed to be Syrian civilian deaths, which I just don't feel okay with. I don't feel okay that...
You're never going to be in a situation where military intervention, military action is 100% certain. It's 100% risk-free.
Yeah, but
it's 100%.
I'm not asking for 100%. I'm asking for 90%. I'm asking for just at least a guarantee that we, like, going into this, we had an assurance that the things were going to be put in the right places, that Syria was going to be left in the state that it is now,
but
and that
Joe,
we're not just going to go
Joe,
in there and...
There's more of a guarantee that IS will be significantly reduced or destroyed than there is a guarantee that if we don't do anything, murders will cease in
Syria. But
I just
don't think it's a British decision to decide which civilians should die. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's up to the Conservative MPs to decide whether these Syrian civilians should die or the ones we drop bombs on. I don't think there's a moral difference between a murder by ISIS or a death which British troops caused by dropping bombs. Do you see what I'm saying? I just don't... I think if we end up just dropping missiles into Syria, into places which have civilians, then there's no difference between us and IS practically, because...
Yeah, but none of us know where these are going to be.
Of course, but it... The result,
if we are led to believe that the airstrikes are going to be on ISIS training, on IS training camps, on IS weapons strongholds,
then I would be perfectly okay with that. It's just,
but we don't know the uncertainty
and the fact of like looking back and seeing how these things just tend to go. I know that's my prejudice, right? But that's just what I've been led to believe, and how I anticipate this will result is that in 6 months' time, we'll be looking back on this like hundreds of people have been killed by British missiles in Syria, and I'll just will feel that us doing that in Syria is no worse than what's just happened in Paris, and it'll be equally a tragedy because any lives are worth the same.
Of course,
as of course they don't just like hang around in their own little groups. These groups take hostages. They hide in high civilian areas. So there, as you said, there are going to be civilian casualties whatsoever, and also coalition forces as well have been bombing and striking these places for the last two or three or so years, and nothing. You know, nothing resolute has come about it, and there is, to me, no end game.
Okay,
and
so it's basically come down, hasn't it? It's basically come down to: are we going? How we know that civilians will die, either way, and it's between a rock and a hard place. And what the government, I presume, have done, and obviously I can't back them here, and I can't defend them and say right and be guaranteed to say yes, there'll be this many deaths. But what we do know, and what I presume and I hope that the government have investigated on and been sure of before they've put this decision to the House, is less civilians will die from this rather than if we were to do nothing and allowed IS to continue their tyrannical reign in Syria.
I just think if we're making a decision for the British government, it should be for the British government to be the causes of no death. Does that make sense? It's almost... There's enough missiles and such being launched into Syria as it is. I feel like Britain now is just put itself down as... When this gets looked back on in a historical standpoint, it'll be... Here is Britain's number of missiles launched into Syria. It killed this many people and this many civilians. And
that
will be a...
But one thing that would never be written in the history books would be Britain sat back and allowed IS to slaughter this many thousands of innocent people.
But that isn't what it would be.
That's something that's not going to be written. It's not something that's going to be written, and it's going to be something that people from that political persuasion will be able to say, you know, we did nothing, and as a result we've allowed this to happen. At the end of the day, it comes down to whether you think it's we should do something or not do something, take a risk or not take a risk.
Yeah.
That's that. But anyway, that's Syria. That's lasted half the programme. We'll be moving on to something a bit lighter afterwards, where we'll be slating the government again, won't we, Joe?
Hooray.
Yeah. Okay, but for now, here is
The Music Sounds Better with You by Stardust.